over the crucifixion, the resurrection. So this morning we're going to look at three things. We're going to look at the attitude and expectations of those to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to look at his crucifixion and resurrection. And then we're going to look at what does that mean for us today. We're going to start off by looking at the attitude of those who mattered according to the law or according to the legal profession at the time of the Lord Jesus Christ's ministries. So we're going to have a very quick look at the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the high priest, the chief priest, the scribes, the elders, the Roman authorities and Pilate, and anyone else that I've missed out that was significant in his death or in his crucifixion. Who were the Pharisees? Pharisees were very strict. They had a very strict adherence to the written law and to the traditions. So they had a very strict, they were the experts, they were the teachers sort of thing of the written law, but also of the traditions that they had compiled. Who were the Sadducees? Well, they were a social or a political group, but they didn't believe in the resurrection. But they seemed to be a powerful group. They seemed to wield some authority, and yet they didn't believe in the resurrection. There was the high priest. He was the chief religious figure in the Jewish religion. Now, remember, they're living in an occupied country. Roman soldiers, Roman law, Roman authority is there. But the high priest was the religious leading figure of the Jewish religion. So who were the chief priests then? All of these people are mentioned as being part of the crucifixion or the trial of the Lord Jesus Christ. The chief priests, again, a social group who looked after the administrative and financial duties of the temple. So we have the high priest, we have the chief priest. And then we have the scribes. The scribes were those who seemed to do all of the copying, all of the writing, and obviously, you know, we're doing scrolls and other things around the area. But they, again, were an important, probably educated people, people that could write neatly. I would not be a good scribe. Then there were the elders. And they were another group of obviously senior people, perhaps, maybe the ones that sat in the gate, the elders. And then, of course, there were the Roman authorities. Now, I'm not sure how the Roman structure worked, but obviously the emperor was in Rome, and obviously he had people who were in charge of areas, and then they had centurions and other forces to keep the peace and to do that. And so we have the Roman authorities and we have Pilate, who appears to be the ruler of Palestine for the emperor in Rome. And then I've put, I'm sure there were other people as well who were involved in this situation. They disliked Jesus. They hated Jesus. And they wanted him gone. So all of those people up there as a group, maybe not as individuals, because we do know there were individuals who did not go along with what was happening. But in the main, they disliked him. They hated him. They wanted him gone. They wanted him dead. That's what they wanted. And they wanted him crucified by the Roman authorities. But we've got to remember that it isn't over till Jesus says it's over. So why crucifixion? Why wasn't Jesus stoned? In English countries, people are hung. In France, it's the guillotine. So there are many ways that people can be executed. But why the crucifixion? Why was that important to the the Jewish authorities. Why did they want the Romans to crucify him? Why didn't they just get a band of people together and get some stones and kill the Lord with stones? Now, apart from the fact that the Holy Spirit wouldn't let them do that, they could have tried it that way, but they wanted him crucified. And I asked the question of myself, why? Why did they want him crucified? Well, I've come up with five answers. One, crucifixion was a cruel death. According to some authorities, it could take several days for someone to die if they were crucified and if they were strong and if they could support themselves. So it could take several days. Guillotine, being hung, it's pretty instantaneous. But it was a cruel death. It was a public death. Now, you might say that if someone is executed another way, it's a public thing, but it's over almost immediately. But because this could go on for several hours or several days, a lot more people would be able to observe what was happening. So it was a very public death. It was a humiliating death. The person was hung there, and they're trying very hard to stretch up so that they could breathe. And then, of course, the pain of that would make them slump down again. So it was a humiliating death. It would also make Jesus look like a common criminal if he was crucified with others. Then anyone going past would think, oh, well, he must be a common criminal. And the fifth one that I've got, it was prophesied in the Old Testament. It was prophesied in the Old Testament. So, you know, all of those other reasons are valid, I'm sure, but I think the main one is this last one. So it was cruel, public, humiliating, common criminal way to die, but it was prophesied in the Old Testament. So if you'd like to turn with me to Psalm 22, we're going to look at a few verses in Psalm 22. And we're going to start reading in verse 7 and then go from 14 to 18. So Psalm 22, verse 7. And they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head. That's certainly public and humiliating situation. And then verse 14, I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And though thou hast brought me into the dust of death, for dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots for my vesture. Now, that's a fairly good description, I think, of a crucifixion. And we know they offered the Lord vinegar, obviously, because his mouth was dry and his tongue cleaved to his jaws. It says they pierced his hands and his feet. That's a fairly clear indication of the way in which he would die. Why did they want him dead? That's the question that we must answer now. They wanted to crucify him. They wanted that humiliating death. But why? Why was it that they wanted him dead? Well, I've got 6 points. He'd become very popular with the common people. The Lord Jesus was accepted by just about every area of of the people around the place, except the hierarchy, of course. So he'd become very popular. He was performing miracles, and people were giving glory to God because of that. I mean, if we were to just go around the room, we could probably get to the back row before we would run out of miracles that Jesus did. And so I'm sure we can all think of many, many miracles that he did. And these were things that no one else could do. These were things that the common people hadn't seen before. And they had recognized that it was God that was doing these things, and they were giving glory to God. That's the second point. Third point, he said they preferred their own laws, the tradition of the elders, rather than God's law. So they were contradicting God's law in many cases by coming up with their own set of rules. And so the tradition of the elders became sort of more authoritative than God's law. And Jesus reminded them about that. He said that they were whitewashed tombs in Matthew 23:27. Looked pretty on the outside. They were whitewashed tombs. He said that he was God come in the flesh. He was God come in the flesh. Now, that's probably where he really started to get them offside. Because now he was saying that he was God. He was the creator of the world. He's the one who in 6 days created the world. And I'm certainly one of those people that believe that. And let me say, if you think you need 6 million years to create the world, you need a bigger God. That's what it comes down to. Because God can do it. He can just speak it into existence. So he said that he was God. He said that he was the creator of the world. He said that he was the Messiah, the one that they were all waiting to come. Now, they were waiting for a Messiah to come to expel the Romans and give them back their freedom, but that was never the Lord Jesus' intentions. So they wanted him dead. He was popular. He was performing miracles. He said they were preferring their own laws. He said they were whitewashed tombs. He said he was God come in the flesh. He said he was the Messiah. They wanted him dead. But they were afraid of the people's reaction. So they had to come up with a way of capturing Jesus without upsetting the population, because he was very popular. So they agreed to pay Judas 30 pieces of silver to deliver him secretly. This was the whole point. He was so that they could avoid a public revolt when Jesus was arrested. So what they wanted him to do was to betray the Lord Jesus to them at some dark or some time when people weren't around. And they knew who they could grab, because it says he would do it with a kiss. And so they wanted to stop his authority. They wanted him dead. So Judas was to tell them where he would be and how they might get them. And then with a kiss, he would reveal this person. And then the authorities could capture him and take him away and get rid of him. And that would be it. But it isn't over till Jesus says it's over. So where did he go? What was the order of events? Well, first they took him, this is the Jewish leaders, took him to Annas, the former high priest. Now in John 18:12-14 it says, "Then the band and the captain of the officers and the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people." And so he goes off to the former high priest. So the second person involved is then Caiaphas, the current high priest. And in Matthew 26:57 it says, "And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled." So they had a meeting in Caiaphas's, I presume, house. And there they tried to find accusation against him. They sought witnesses who testified, but they couldn't agree with each other's testimony. In other words, they were lying. And they made statements that were just so foolish. And so the Sanhedrin, which was the next step, when the next morning he was taken into the Sanhedrin's council, in Luke 22:66 it says, "And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council." And it goes on saying. So now the Jewish people have taken him to the former high priest, to the current high priest, and now to the Sanhedrin, the council, all of those people who wanted him dead. But they had no authority. They weren't able to execute anybody. The Roman law was such that only the Romans could execute someone. So next he's taken to Pilate in the Hall of Judgment. Whatever the Hall of Judgment is, I'm not sure, but it's called the Hall of Judgment. So now we can turn, if you like, to John 18, and we're going to read from 28 to 38, and we'll read the account of Jesus before Pilate, or part of it. "Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas unto the Hall of Judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat, so that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? And they answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up to thee." So in other words, because we brought him, he's a criminal. That's what they're saying. Well, you know, don't worry about evidence or information. We've just brought him. He must be a criminal because we've brought him. Verse 31. "Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put a man to death." And so it's pretty obvious what they're solution was going to be. The Roman authorities were going to put the Lord Jesus to death, and that would be the end of that. "That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled," verse 32, "which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell thee of me?" And so we now have, Pilate now has a dilemma. The Jewish authorities have delivered this man, saying, "We wouldn't have brought him if he wasn't a criminal." They've presented no evidence at all to say that he's done anything wrong. In fact, Pilate says, "Well, look, you worry about it. If it's a point of law or a point of religion, you worry about it." And they said, "No, we can't kill him. You have to do whatever is necessary for him to die." Verse 35, "Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" So he's asking Jesus what he's done. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find no fault in him at all. And so Pilate is now in this predicament of having the Jewish authorities pounding for his death and yet him finding no reason to put him to death. Pilate wanted to release Jesus, but the Jewish authorities persuaded Pilate that Jesus claimed to be the king of the Jews, and therefore that was a threat to Roman control. I picked this quote up that says, and so now we're looking at the crucifixion and the resurrection, that's the second point, that said, according to all four Gospels, Jesus was brought to the place of a skull. I think that's called Gordon's Calvary these days, and crucified with two thieves. With the charge of claiming to be king of the Jews, the soldiers divided his clothes before he bowed his head and died. Following his death, Joseph of Arimathea requested the body from Pilate, which Joseph then placed in a new garden tomb. And I thought that was just a good summary of what had happened there. So Jesus was crucified by the Roman authorities. He was dead on the cross. So the fact that he was now dead obviously meant to those people in authority that this was it, it was over. They could all breathe a sigh of relief and everything was finished. And so an agreement was made so that nobody could come and steal the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. They made a little pact and they came up with the following agreement. A very large stone was rolled across the tomb entrance. From what I can understand, it would take two fairly strong men to roll that stone back. A Roman seal was set on the gravesite, and I don't think people would want to interfere with a Roman seal. And then Roman soldiers were instructed to guard the tomb. So they're going to make sure that now that Jesus is dead, that he's going to stay dead. Nobody's going to come and take his body and claim that he's been raised from the dead. So this very large stone, the Roman seal, the Roman soldiers, everybody's breathing a sigh of relief. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the high priest, the chief priest, the scribes, the elders, and the Roman authorities and Pilate all said, it's over. It's finished. Jesus is dead. His disciples are disbanded. His followers are now dispersed. It's all over. And you know what I'm going to say. It isn't over till Jesus says it's over. Isn't that wonderful to think that somebody is out there that has control of everything? Friday, Jesus is dead and buried. Saturday, Jesus is dead and buried. Sunday, Jesus is alive and risen from the dead. Now, the Bible states that Jesus would be in the grave for 3 days and three nights. Sorry, Alan, but Pastor David Mitchell, that's your brother, told me that he worked out the timing. So I'm not going to get involved in trying to convince you what that is. If you want to know, ask David Mitchell. Look, you can look up a concordance, you can Google it, and you will find some very interesting, impelling comments as to what all that meant. But I'm just going to leave it this morning. So come Sunday morning, Jesus is risen from the dead. He rolled away the stone. He broke the Roman seal. He dealt with the Roman guards. It isn't over till Jesus says it's over. So what does that mean to us this morning? What does the fact that Jesus rose from the dead mean to us this morning? Well, we're blessed. We are a blessed people. If you're here this morning and you know that the Lord Jesus Christ dwells in your heart by faith, then we're blessed because we have victory over death. We have victory over death. But we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago. When do you become old? Well, the Bible says 70 years and 10 is our life span. So if you're 70, you are living on the edge. So you can't be old, you have to be ancient. Okay, so 35 has to be midlife. So anything beyond 35 is getting old. Okay? So if I call myself ancient, you'll know what I mean. Now, why did I say that? That's a good question, isn't it? The older we get, every day that goes past in my life is an extra day that God has given me. And if you're over 70, that's the way we should look at it. God has given us another day, another year, another 10 years or something like that. We are so blessed because Jesus had victory over death. Without the resurrection, we would have absolutely nothing to look forward to. Those who are rich would be considered the most blessed. If there's nothing after death, and you've got a lot of money to spend, and you can buy what you want, then you've got to be the most blessed. And those that live the longest have to have had the best time because they've had more time to live. That's if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. But there is life after death. There is life after death. I think yesterday at the wedding, it was blatantly obvious that a number of people there believed in life after death. They believed that there was a God. That whole thing yesterday, not being disrespectful, was a testament to people's belief in the living God. I mean, nobody sang a song that didn't have praise to the Lord. There was no... nobody said anything that would testify that there was no God. In fact, it was the complete reverse. You know, there's a resurrection for all people. Pastor Allen said this a couple of weeks ago, I think. And I thought, he's right. You know, everyone that has ever lived will be raised again to a judgment. Now, I don't know about you, but I find difficulty getting my head around that. Every single person that has ever lived, from Adam and Eve right through to now, is going to be raised again to a judgment. So if you've been buried in a grave, you're going to come out of that grave and be judged. If you died in a shipwreck, your body is going to come from wherever that shipwreck was, and you're going to be raised to judgment. Now, I don't know how this works with a cremation, but if you've been cremated, God is going to be able to get that body back together again, or give you a new body, and you're going to be raised to judgment. Everyone that has ever lived is going to face a judgment. And there's two results to that judgment. One is to eternal life with God in heaven, And the other one is to eternal separation from God in hell. There's only two. We're really fortunate. We step one way or the other. Everybody that ever lived will be raised to a judgment. So what's the conclusion? What can we conclude from this morning? We all have to consider what Jesus did for us on the cross. We could close our ears. We could not come to a place where we would hear. We can take drugs so that our minds won't comprehend this. But at some point of time, everyone must consider what Jesus did for them on the cross. He died for our sins. He died for your sins and he died for my sins. He took the penalty for our sins. He took that upon himself on the cross. He took the penalty of our sins in his body on the tree. He paid the penalty for my sins and for your sins. All the sins of all the people who ever lived, Jesus took on the cross, on himself. Can you comprehend that? Can you seriously comprehend that? What did it cost him? It cost him pain. It cost him suffering. It cost him humility. The taking of our sins. Separation from his Father. That's some of the things that it cost the Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross. What did it cost his Father? It cost his dear Son. Now I certainly can't comprehend what that means. That the Lord God, the Heavenly Father, let his Son be the propitiation or the punishment for our sins. What did that cost him? Well, what did we gain? If that's what it cost, what did we gain? We gained our sins forgiven. We gained a place in heaven. We secured a place in heaven. We hope we'll wake up at the pearly gates and St. Peter will let us in, and St. Peter's not going to be at the gates to let us in anyway. But we can secure a place right now in heaven. And I can tell you, as you get older, that becomes a lot more, that security becomes a lot more important to you. We gain salvation. Our souls are saved forever. We gained an eternal hope. You know, when a Christian dies and they're looking to the Lord, we have an eternal hope. We will see that person again. We will be in the same heaven. We will be with the same Saviour. We have a place to go to after we die. We will be with the living God for eternity. We will be with the living God for eternity. Remember, it isn't over till Jesus says it's over. Let's sing our closing hymn number 138.